We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 3, but also in the back of our songbooks, I encourage you to turn to Lord's Day 26 as we continue our series through the Heidelberg Catechism. We've come up to the sacraments in particular and baptism specifically. This week we're going to be looking at what is baptism in general, and next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at, or 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking at why children are included, why the children of believers are included in the covenant and therefore should be recipients of the sign of baptism. But this week we're going to be looking at baptism in general. But first let's read from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. This page 935, Matthew chapter 3 at verse 11 here, where John is comparing his own baptism and the baptism that Jesus Christ will bring. So Matthew chapter 3 at verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandal I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's particularly that distinction that John says, I baptize with water for repentance, but Jesus Christ will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's now turn the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 26. That's page 883. And we'll look at the three question and answers there. Question and answer 69. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? And the answer is in this way. Christ instituted this outward washing and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Question answer 70. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has removed and sanctified us to be members of Christ. And so more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Finally, question and answer 71. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? And the answer is in the institution of baptism, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism this evening. May God add the blessing of the increase upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes being called simple is not a compliment. When someone would call you a simpleton or saying that your research paper is simplistic, it's not meant to be something to encourage you, but something rather to rebuke you. But complexity is not always the solution either. Complexity is not always better. The Scripture calls us as God's people to be mature, to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, to, as 1 Corinthians 3 says, go on from the basic principles to that deep, solid food, that mature teaching. So we should not be content with an elementary truth. We're called to go deeper, to dig deeper, and to grow in our understanding. But it is also true that Scripture tells us that the gospel is clear, it is able to be perceived by even the youngest. Paul put it this way, I want nothing to be known, I will preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Or Peter puts it this way, we need to crave that pure spiritual milk of God's word. So there are times when we need to persevere and push and challenge ourselves so that we grow in our understanding. We challenge ourselves so we grow in maturity and the understanding of the depth of God's word. But it is also true that we must never forget or deny or downplay the simplicity, the beauty of the gospel. The gospel promise is really crystal clear. And in fact, that's one of the perfections of Scripture, the clarity of Scripture. What we need to know for our salvation is so abundantly clear, self-evident, that anyone could read it and understand it. It's not just for those who are high thinkers and those who have master's degrees, those who are highly educated. We can all understand the truth. The core, the basic principle is in fact so simple that our little children here can understand it and illustrate it. The gospel is so simple that small grade school children can not only explain it, but illustrate it. So this evening we consider this theme, Jesus Christ institutes holy baptism to teach us about the washing away of our sins. The core basic principle is so simple that our little children can embrace it, can grasp it. And what's the core basic principle of the gospel? You are dirty. Jesus makes you clean. So simple. You are dirty in your sins. And Jesus' blood makes you clean. On our first point, then, we consider baptism as a sign and seal made evident in the external washing. As we saw last week, the sacraments are given to us as God-ordained visual aids. Now, the God-ordained visual aids, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are meant to be an encouragement to us as God's people. God knows how weak we are, how prone to discouragement, how we are fearful. And God gives us these God-ordained visual aids to meet us, to settle our doubts, to calm our fears. It's as if a father is saying to his little child, who is afraid of a thunderstorm, little child, come sit on my lap. Let me embrace you. Let me hold you. Let me calm your fears by my presence. Do you want to know how strong I am? Do you want to know how dedicated I am to you? Do you know how great my love is for you? Let me prove it. Let me show it. Here are the sacraments. These holy signs and seals are our love letters from our Savior, lest we forget His love. As we saw last week, we are called to celebrate when we celebrated the Lord's Supper. We are to celebrate in remembrance of Him. So the sacraments are meant to trigger our memory. With baptism, when we see the sacrament of baptism, it's meant to trigger something in our mind. Now the word baptism, if you were to define it as a word, it means simply to plunge, to dip, to wash, to sprinkle. So what do we see, little children? What do we see when a person is baptized? You know what happens with baptism, don't you? Someone is brought up here, a little baby, or sometimes older members who are making profession of faith and being brought into the church. Brought here, and water is dipped or sprinkled or poured upon them. It's so clear, so straightforward. Children, why do you need to be washed? Why do your parents say to you that you need to be washed? Usually, the reason you need to be washed is because you're dirty. What's the purpose of washing your hands? You wash your hands because there's something on you that you need to get off. You don't want the filth, the dirt, the pollution to spread. You don't want a virus or bacteria to be put into your mouth if you're going to eat. So something is dirty and it needs to be made clean. In a similar way, when we come to baptism, we are saying something about ourselves. We are saying, I'm dirty. I'm the dirty one here. Yeah, when our little babies are brought up here, they're usually in these beautiful white ornate outfits. But the fact of the matter is, they're dirty. They're dirty like their parents, like you and me. We are filthy. We're born in sin. So question answer 69 says, Christ institutes the outward washing so we can see the water and learn what happens with the water is what he does with his blood. You are dirty. You need to be washed. Jesus is the solution. He makes you clean. But there is a limit placed on this external washing. The water that is found in this font is regular water. It's not holy water. It's tap water. There would be nothing wrong with the janitor after church taking that water, bringing it into another room, washing his hands with, or even dumping it in a cup to drink it. It's just plain water. Not holy, not special. It's just normal tap water. But it's a picture. And what takes place when it's in the presence of a worship service and a sacrament, it's a picture that points to a truth. The teaching of baptism is the gospel made visual. So, little children, if someone were to ask you, let's say later on after church, I say to you, if you're in grade school, I say to you, little children, what's the gospel? How would you define the gospel? What is the good news? What is the core teaching of the Bible? If you were to summarize, to try to sum up the entire teaching of the Bible, why is this book a book of good news? What's the point? What's the gospel, little one? You could simply say it like this. I'm dirty. Jesus cleanses me. I'm born in sin. Jesus washes my sins away. That's the gospel. That's the simple, glorious truth. Baptism is a sign. It's an external sign, but it's a picture that teaches us of what Jesus Christ does. But it's also a seal. A seal is a promise. Question and answer 69 says, it's a promise that Jesus Christ gives us. As surely as dirt washes away filth from our bodies, so surely does Christ's blood and spirit cleanse us from all our sins. Baptism is a promise that speaks to the efficacy of Christ's blood. Just as water is normally effective at removing most kinds of dirt and grime, Christ's blood and spirit cleanse us from our sins. Since it is a seal, we can trust the promise that is attached to it. You can trust it. You can depend on Christ's word because Christ says, as surely, so certainly, you can depend on me. I am faithful. I will do what I say I will do. If Jesus says to you, my blood will cleanse you from all of your sins, and since Jesus is faithful, he cannot lie. He is faithful and just. He will do it. And the baptism as a seal says we need not doubt the promise of God, but rather embrace it. He will certainly perform the cleansing and washing that is necessary. Now, although it is true that we may find ourselves in a situation where we are so externally dirty that no amount of washing can take away a stain, we may need to throw out a garment that is stained with grease or oil, or there's some no soap or degreaser that will get rid of every single kind of stain. But we will never find a sin that is so grievous that Jesus' blood can't cleanse it. We will never find a stain that is so dark that Christ's blood cannot make it white as snow. So the sacraments are given to us as a sign and a seal, an external picture and a promise that point to a reality. And Jesus instituted this sacrament at the end of his earthly ministry, Matthew 28, saying to his disciples, "Go out and make disciples, teach them to observe everything I have instructed you, and mark them as my people. Give them a sign to distinguish them, the sign of baptism." So when you open the pages of the book of Acts, you find it with the Ethiopian eunuch, the centurion called Cornelius, the Philippian jailer. They all receive the sign and seal, being baptized in the name of God. As a sign, it's applied to those who are included in the household of God, as we'll see in a few weeks from now. But as I said before, there is a limit placed on the external washing. Baptism as a sign and seal cannot do the very thing that it points to. There is a limit. This water is not holy. It goes on the outside, but it doesn't touch the heart. It doesn't cleanse the soul within. There is a double washing that is necessary. Not only is the external necessary to instruct us, encourage us, comfort us, teach us, there is an internal which is actually more vital. Because it is possible for a person to be saved who is not externally baptized. Think of the thief on the cross. But it's impossible for a person to be saved who doesn't receive the internal washing. The internal washing is that which is necessary for our salvation. So question and answer 70 asks us, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that Christ's blood shed on the cross is effective to cleanse from sin. And in fact, both the Lord's Supper and baptism point to the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was poured out on the cross is applied to my soul, is placed on me, shed to cover me, so that my iniquity is purged and I am made clean. This blood is applied to us by faith. We're joined to Christ by faith. And when we're joined to Christ by faith, his blood covers us. We are washed in his blood, so that Revelation 7 verse 14 says, our robes are made white, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, this is contrary to human logic. Revelation 7 says, our robes are made white when they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. When we tend to think of blood, we tend to think of the stain that blood produces. I'm just thinking of a personal example. If you're shaving with a razor and you nick yourself and you put your white t-shirt on, then you get a stain on your shirt. And if you don't address it right away, that stain sets in and it's stuck there. It sits out like a sore thumb. Having clothes stained with blood is anything but clean. But in actuality, the biblical teaching is that only people washed in blood are clean. That whatever you wash your clothes with, it remains unclean. Whatever you as an individual seek to wash yourself in, you can seek to live your entire life trying to wash yourself with any means that you see fit. But you will never be clean unless you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only his blood that makes you whiter than snow. So we need to be washed in his blood. By his blood we find forgiveness and cleansing. So we're washed by the blood of Jesus, but we're also, secondly, washed by the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus poured out his Spirit as the one who might sanctify us as his people. We are renewed, as question and answer 70 says, sanctified as members of Christ to live holy and blameless lives. By the Spirit, we are anointed for service. Our hands and our hearts are made clean, and our lives reflect the holy God to whom we belong. As we read from Matthew 3, when Jesus comes, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, when we think of the work of the Holy Spirit, there are various images that Jesus gives us concerning what the Spirit does. The first image is the image of washing. The Spirit is compared to water that washes and cleanses. Psalm 51, the Spirit's presence within washes and cleans and makes us whiter than snow. We washes like water. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We read this earlier from Ezekiel 36, that the Spirit, the Lord, will sprinkle clean water on us and we shall be clean, and He'll give us a new heart and a new spirit within. By His Spirit, we will walk in His ways and will be delivered from all our uncleanness. So the Spirit's presence within makes us clean, clean in our living, and holy in our lives. The second aspect of the Spirit's work is compared to wind. That's what Jesus taught in John 3. The Spirit is like wind, the breath of life that blows. You don't see it. It's not visibly evident, but you see it by its power in the change that is produced. This wind is evident in Ezekiel 36 or 37. That talks about the Lord raising up a mighty army. Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the wind, and the breath, the Spirit of God, fills the lungs of this army, and they're set on their feet, and they become a living army in God's presence. The third thing that the Spirit's work is compared to is fire. And that's the other one that's referenced in Matthew 3, that Jesus will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. And the interesting thing about Matthew 3, if you still have your Bibles open, I'm just going to spend a little time on this, that when Jesus Christ comes to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, in verse 12, John builds upon this concept of what that means to be baptized with fire. And the fire that comes in verse 12 there is a fire that makes division. Fire is used for cleansing, for purification, but it's also used for judgment and destruction. So when Jesus Christ is baptizing, He's going to baptize the world in fire. There's a similar imagery between what happens with the flood, with the Noah, the crossing of the Red Sea with Moses, that water that made a division, a distinction, depending who you're baptized in. And the same thing will be applied when Jesus Christ comes back. If you are united to Jesus Christ by faith, the baptism of fire will be a baptism of purification, cleansing. But if you are baptized in the name of anyone else, if you are trusting in anyone or anything else, that baptism will be a fire of destruction and death. That's what happens in verse 12. The winnowing fork, that's that fork that's used to separate the wheat from the chaff, it will be used to make a distinction. The wheat will be gathered up into the barn. That is eschatology imagery. That's end time imagery. When Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to gather His wheat. He's going to gather His people into His barn. But the chaff is going to be burned up with unquenchable fire. So that division that is made evident here is a division that is preached at baptism. So baptism as water means either life, deliverance, salvation, think Moses, think Noah, those who are united to those heads of the family, heads of the covenant, find deliverance and salvation. Water becomes the avenue by which they are saved. But if you are not with Moses, if you are not with Noah, then that water becomes your death and destruction. Well, the second time that we're going to, or the end time when Jesus Christ comes back and He pours out the fire, if you are not baptized, if you're not joined to Christ by faith, that fire will be your death, will be your destruction. But if you are united to Him, it will be your purification and salvation. So what happens at baptism is that we are united to Christ. It's a picture that unites us, that we are united to Christ by faith. When we're baptized in the name of God, we're being placed in Him. His name is being placed upon us. We'll be welcomed in His family, we in Him and He in us. His blood cleansing us and His Spirit filling us and sanctification. So if we can put those two together, when we are baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, that would be a reference to our justification. When we are baptized into the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that's our sanctification. What happens is that when you join them together, it is a new identity that leads to a new life. It is a change in our status. We are children of God, washed by the blood, and we are now filled with the Spirit so that we live a holy life, that we are set apart, we're distinct. And that's what baptism teaches, doesn't it? Children, did you know when you were baptized that God put his name on you? God said to you and about you, you are mine. You are not your own. You do not belong to the world. You are mine. My name is on you. Therefore, you must live like my people because I have called you my own. To conclude, a baptism is a sacrament that illustrates the gospel in such a beautifully clear way that the little children can understand it and explain it. So children, what is the gospel? Explain on the way home tonight. I encourage you to do that. Explain to your parents the gospel. Use what baptism is to illustrate what the gospel says. Who are you? You are dirty. You're a sinner. What does Christ do? He cleanses you. He washes you. He makes you clean. Just as water washes away dirt from the body, so surely does the blood and Spirit of Christ cleanse me from all my sins. So as we see the water, as we remember our own baptisms, remember what is said about us and to us. He is our God, we are his people. His blood, the blood of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ cleanse us and wash us, and make us clean and pure within. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the promise that you have given to us in baptism, that just as surely as dirt is washed away by water, so surely do the blood and Spirit of Christ cleanse us from all our sins. We do pray that as your people, we would be reminded of our identity, that we would not live like the world or for the world, but that we would live for you because that's who we are. We're your people. We're set apart and chosen. We thank you for the assurance, that promise that we receive, that your Spirit and the blood of Christ are effective and sufficient to do the cleansing that is necessary. Help us to cling to those promises and help us to look to Christ alone for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.